Dear friends in Christ, today we'll be examining a portion of Paul's letter to the Philippians, and in it we're going to talk about estimation. And what I mean by that is, what is your estimation of yourself? What do you think about yourself? And then we'll be examining what Jesus thought about himself, what he estimated himself to be while he was on earth. We read as follows in Jesus' name. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, and of those on earth and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. These are your words. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Puto Deus Fio. These were supposedly the last three words that the Roman Emperor Vespasian uttered as he was dying. And it can be roughly translated as, uh-oh, I think I'm becoming a god. Now, we as human beings have some interesting things to say about ourselves. We've all had our shares of great one-liners. I have a list of them here for you today. I am the state. I'm the decider. I am unstoppable. I am the greatest. I sting like a butterfly, fly like a bee. My only fault is I don't know how great I am. I am a god. All real things that real people have said. And no, I won't pick on Kanye West today, but it's true. Now, to be fair, for those of you who know me, I've had some pretty bad one-liners myself. I hear my friends even keep a quote book of me, which is horrifying. But we all, in our lives, say things about ourselves that are just ridiculous. We've all estimated ourselves, esteemed ourselves, to be greater than we really are. In our text today, Paul says, he begins the section of Philippians by stating, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Don't you just hate it when you find out that somebody is better than you at something? Ah, that's the worst. You just grit your teeth, and then you maybe start to give some defensive line along the lines of, oh, well, at least I'm not like that, or at least I have this to offer, because, you know, that's a little better. We all think ourselves to be greater than we really are. We are all guilty of the sin of pride. Pride has been called by some to be the greatest sin, the first sin. Because if you think about it, when Satan rebelled in heaven, he wanted to be better than God, right? And when he tempted Adam and Eve in the garden, what did he say? Would you like to be like God? Pride is a sin that affects us all. St. Augustine commented that it was pride that made angels into devils, but that it's humility that makes men into angels. Now, you get the point. Pride is a sin that we all struggle with. None of us want to be poor. None of us want to be lowly, despised, humble. None of us really want to be a nobody. Deep down inside, there's a part of each one of us that wants to be adored as king of the universe, and we know it. So now that we've seen our false estimation of ourselves, our false thinking that we are better than others in God. We look at Jesus, we turn to him, and we have to ask ourselves, what was Jesus' estimation of himself when he was going around this earth? Well, in all honesty, he could have certainly walked around saying, I'm God, and he could have put on a show of lordship, and he could have looked every human being in the face and said, na 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 boo boo, I'm better than you are. Because he had every right to say that. He's God. None of us would even exist if it wasn't for him. But what does Paul say? What does Paul say that Jesus did? Being in the form of God, he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus didn't consider it to be robbery to be equal with God. It's kind of a strange expression, but basically what it means is Jesus didn't go around putting on a show of lordship. He didn't go around pretending that I'm God, you should all bow down and worship me right now. No. Jesus walked around lowly, humbly, like a regular old human being, just like one among the many. He wasn't born in Buckingham Palace. He wasn't born in the Borghese. He wasn't born in Paisley Park. He was born in a lowly Jewish village in the middle of the Middle East, in the middle of nowhere, not even in Jerusalem, not in Paris, not in Rome, not in New York. Just a little village in the middle of nowhere. And he was born to a young, humble virgin, and his father was a carpenter. He was an ordinary, boring person, not a celebrity, not a somebody, but a nobody. He didn't buddy-buddy with Caesar. He didn't buddy-buddy with the high priests and the senators. He was just an ordinary person. And so what does Paul say that Jesus did when he found himself in this low state? Did he try everything he could to get out of it? I mean, let's be honest. We all know that if we were in poverty, if we were in lowliness, that deep down inside there's a part of us that want to scramble out as fast as we could, do anything to get back to the top of the rat pack. Not be lowly, not be content with being poor and humble. And yet Jesus was content being a poor, humble human being. And not only that, he went all the way with it. He went straight to death on the cross. Not just any death, ugly human death. And worse yet, execution. The worst kind of death. There's no glory in execution. There's no way to make your death seem good. There's no way to kind of put a positive spin on it. It's just death. Just humiliation. Just hell. That's what Jesus has done for you and for me. Now, as you go about your day today, ponder on the Passion during this Holy Week. As you're typing your paper on your laptop, stop and think about the nails that pierced his hands. As you go to check your hair in the mirror, think about the blood and the thorns that pressed into his head. As you go to do your ab workout in the gym, think about, ponder the Roman spear that pierced his side. All for you and for me. But also, don't feel too bad about it. Remember that he did it because he loves you. He loves you, and he wants you to be in heaven with him one day. That's why he did it, dear brothers and sisters. All the greatness that we aspire to in this life, he already accomplished for us in heaven. It's there, waiting for us. And we have to ask ourselves now, what is God's estimation of us? Because of Jesus. Well, dear children of God, his estimation of you is that you are great. You are wonderful. You are loved. You are justified, holy, right with God, free from the law, free from death, the very sons and daughters of God who created the universe. We are great now, again. All that Adam and Eve lost for us, Christ restored to us and more. Because of him and his death on the cross, we have everything. He became a nobody so that we could be a somebody. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.